Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the NIIT Limited Q2 FY19 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani, Managing Director and Vice Chairman of NIIT Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Welcome to this call, which has been set up to discuss the results of the second quarter for the financial year 2018-19. I do know it's a busy day for all of you, and thank you for making the time to be with us. I have with me the full leadership team of NIIT, as well as Mr. Pawar, the Chairman, as well as Mr. Rajendran, the Joint Managing Director, and we will all be available to you for answering questions. Right now, the initial brief will be given by Sapnesh, and he will handle all the questions relating to the operations. If there are any other questions, we would be all very happy to pitch in. So with these words, I hand you over to Sapnesh, and after that, we can get into the Q&A. Thank you.
Thanks, Vijay. Thanks, everyone, for joining and your interest in NIIT. Let me take you through very quickly through our second quarter results highlights. I'm pleased to share that execution on our stated strategies is starting to deliver results. We are continuing to accelerate customer acquisition and growth in our corporate business, including getting large contracts and starting to deliver on them. In our skills and career business, we are seeing significant traction in our new career courses that we launched in June. We are seeing significant traction for the deep skilling that our StackRoute initiative offers, as well as the recently announced initiative on talent pipeline as a service. Across all three initiatives, we are seeing strong visibility and customer traction. We've achieved double-digit growth with double-digit margin. I know we still have a way to go, but it's a great milestone to achieve. Our revenue in the second quarter was up 10% year-on-year at 2,285 million, and our EBITDA is at 10% at 219 million. The growth is led by the corporate learning business, which grew 28%, recording the third successive quarter in which we have grown 25% or more. We will talk about this business in a little more detail a little bit later in the call. Overall, we improved all three parameters that are high priority for NIIT at this time: profitability, liquidity, and capital efficiency. EBITDA margins improved by 105 basis points year-on-year. Our net debt improved to 599 million versus 1,052 million last quarter. Capital efficiency, or ROCE, improved 593 basis points to 13.6% versus 7.7% last year. Getting into details for each one of our businesses, the corporate business now contributes 71% of NIIT's overall revenues. The revenue of corporate business stood at 1,616 million. It's up 28% YOY and 7% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. The revenue was up 18% YOY on a constant currency basis. This was the third successive quarter of 25%+ revenue growth for this business. The EBITDA was at 238 million, up 21% YOY and 8% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. This was partially aided by the depreciation of the rupee. Growth and currency helped offset some of the increases in salary-related costs, as well as the increased cost because of transitioning activity that we are conducting for three contracts that are currently in transition, including a large contract that we had acquired about a quarter and a half ago. We continue to invest in sales and marketing and are seeing acceleration in our pipeline as well as potential opportunities. The margin of this business is at 15%, up 15 basis points on a quarter-on-quarter basis. We added one new MTS customer in the life sciences sector and expanded our engagement with three existing customers, and in addition, renewed a large contract for an additional 3 years. We now have 40 managed training services customers, and as a result of that, our visibility has improved 16% YOY and is at $226 million. Further, NIIT has been selected as a partner of choice for a large comprehensive RFP, and we are currently in exclusive contracting negotiations. Once contracted, this would be our third comprehensive deal over the last 1.5 years. While this has been a very strong period for new customer acquisition, we are noticing a temporary slowdown in volume of work in a couple of our existing customers that are going through M&A-related restructuring. This is likely to persist in Q3 as well and start to recover as we get into Q4. The new contracts that we have won will help us accelerate growth in the next financial year. One of these significant contracts, as you know, is the RICO contract, which we are working on from a transitioning perspective, and this contract will start generating revenue from the 1st of July next year. Our skills and career business contributed 27% to the NIIT revenue in Q2. Revenue was at $617 million in Q2 versus $747 million last year. As we have been sharing, this business is in transition where the traditional business models and offerings are being replaced systematically with new offerings, including new career programs, the StackRoot initiative for deep skilling, full stack developers, as well as the talent pipeline as a service initiative. The EBITDA improved on a year-on-year basis and is at 10 million versus 3 million same quarter last year. Improving product mix and cost rationalization has helped offset the negative impact of operating leverage and cost inflation. For the first half, we have seen a swing to positive EBITDA from negative 23 million compared to last year first half. Over the last couple of quarters, we have focused on a couple of key initiatives. These include the new career programs, the deep skilling initiative under StackRoot, as well as the talent pipeline as a service initiative. Each of these initiatives are starting to build momentum and resulting in improved visibility and order intake. Overall order intake in SNC has grown 6% YOY, aided by these initiatives. For StackRoot, we now have substantial mandates from 9 IT services majors, including key GICs for creating full stack developers who will be operational on digital technologies on day one. Also, with our talent pipeline as a service initiative, we have mandates from 8 BFSI and technology organizations for creating almost 10,000 professionals in the current financial year. Our schools business contributed 2% to NIIT's revenue in Q2. I'm happy to share that we have completed all our government school contracts. This has been a long period of planned ramp down on government school contracts, but we have successfully concluded execution on all our commitments. We are now in the transition phase, which includes handoffs of projects and, of course, collections for two projects that have just ended in Assam and Chhattisgarh. For our private school business, the second quarter is a seasonally weak quarter. Having said that, the private schools business was slower than where we would have liked it to be, partly due to regulatory uncertainty. The new products that we have launched in math and science, as well as the Practice Plus platform, are seeing good interest from schools, and we expect to drive growth in private schools this year. However, given regulatory uncertainty, we expect a lot of decisions to be bunched up in the fourth quarter. Revenue for Q2 was at 51 million. EBITDA was negative 28 million, driven predominantly by lower revenue in private schools as well as transition costs related to government schools. Our Practice Plus platform now has over 400,000 registered users, including 1.5 lakh parents who engage periodically with us on the platform. Overall, for NIIT, revenue was up 10% YOY at 2,285 million. EBITDA was at 219 million, up 23%. EBITDA margin at 10%. Our depreciation is now less than 4% of sales, reflecting a shift to a lighter asset model. However, I would like to remind you that we have been working on transition-related costs for our RICO contract, which will start depreciating as we start accruing revenue next year. Our operating profit before tax is at 82 million, up over 300% as compared to last year. Our EBIT is up at 84% year-on-year to 135 million. The profit after tax is at 259 million, up 104%. Our net debt has seen a sharp improvement in the second quarter. We are at 599 million at the end of quarter two versus 1,052 million at the end of last quarter. There was a temporary increase in net debt last quarter. However, to a great extent, that has been corrected. Our ROCE is at 13.6% versus 7.7% last year. It's up 593 basis points on a year-on-year basis. Those were a summary of my prepared comments. I would like now to see if there are any questions from the audience, and we will do our best to answer your questions. Operator, if you can open lines for questions now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset mode while asking your question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Ravi Menon from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Congratulations on the pretty good quarter. I just had a couple of questions. You know, first on the revenue visibility and how that has increased. You know, we've seen that it's the growth rate for the revenue visibility is now coming off a little bit. You know, now you that's increasing a little slower than how we're growing revenue. So, you know, going into FY20, do you think that you know, this could be kind of a leading indicator that we should see, you know, CLG revenue growth starting to slow down?
I think, so thanks for asking that question. I think the growth in visibility is a function of our revenue as well as the contracts that we book every quarter. As I mentioned, we worked on five new contracts as well as grew substantial amount of our revenue. I also mentioned that we have one contract which is currently in contracting, a large contract. I think from an overall perspective, you will continue to see growth in visibility. However, in several quarters, it is lumpy. There are times when we have big renewals. There are times when we win big contracts, which result into substantial growth in visibility. And then there are times when we win average number of contracts. So I think from an overall perspective, you'll see lumpiness in growth in visibility. I don't think that's an indicator of the strength of the business. I think the right indicator for the strength of the business is actually the visibility, which is at 226 million at this time.
Agreed, sir. And secondly, if you could tell us what's the total capex for RICO, and what's amortization that we should expect, and how long?
I think the amortization would be over the duration of the contract, which is between 5 and 7 years. We have an option to continue the contract for 2 additional years after the first 5-year period. So the capex would depreciate across the term of the contract. Specifically, the capex that is being incurred for RICO, we typically do not share project-wise capex, but suffice it to say, for client confidentiality reasons and many other competitive reasons, we cannot disclose this information. However, what I would like to say is that, like I mentioned, the capex is within control and would get depreciated over the term of the contract.
Sure, sir. So given that this is going to add an amortization line, so should we expect that then the EBITDA should improve when the RICO contract kicks in?
That is correct.
All right, sir. Thank you. And for one last question on the government schools contract costs and associated closing costs with it, how long should we expect that to persist?
I would mention a couple of things. Overall, the schools business, including the government schools business, is now a small part of our business. And therefore, the related costs are also not humongous. However, the tail will take a couple of quarters to wind down.
Great, sir. Thank you. Best luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Kathuria from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
In the corporate learning group presentation slide, you mentioned we have been selected as a partner of choice for one comprehensive RFP currently under contracting. Can you talk a little bit about this?
Not a hell of a lot, but what I would say is very significant RFP, very competitive and well fought. I think they chose us over a very substantial field of competitors and really liked the capabilities that we brought to the table. They are among the top 5 in their category. They are a large office automation company.
Right, sir. And any sense on the overall number of transactions coming into the market? Any positive trends on that?
Like we have said, we are seeing more opportunities coming as evidence from the acceleration that we've had in our deals. So we are seeing more opportunities come in the market, and I think that's evidence of organizations such as NIIT being able to deliver reliably the results for on outsourcing contracts.
Okay, and
talk about your funnels.
This contract.
Just one moment, sorry. I'm requesting him to talk a little bit about the funnel.
Yeah, we have a very strong funnel. Like I said, that we have a large opportunity that is in closure, that is in contracting at this time. We also have an additional three contracts which are in contracting. So we've gone, we've gotten off to a good start in October, and I think we have a fairly significant funnel to support activity going forward.
Yeah, and this this transaction that is currently under contracting, this is not the Pitney-Bowes transaction. This is some other transaction, right?
That's correct. The Pitney-Bowes transaction was, I think, a quarter and a half ago, January.
Right. And any indication that you can give about the size of this particular contract?
We will once the contracting is complete.
All right. Right. All the very best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sangeeta Purushottam from Cogito Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon and congratulations on a very good set of numbers. My question actually relates to the school learning group and the skills and career group. Starting with the school learning group, you know, the EBITDA loss that we're seeing is almost is a little more than 50% of the revenues, and it was high in the first quarter also. Is this primarily because of the costs associated with the government school contracts which are being wound down? And going forward, once the impact of the government school contracts is over, would the business generate positive EBITDA?
Very good question. I think the way to think about it is that the predominant part of the government schools business is done. However, like I've mentioned earlier, there is a little bit of a tail in terms of costs that are left, predominantly costs related to handover of the project as well as collecting payments from the government. That said, those costs should wind down over the next couple of quarters. Thing about the schools business, the private schools business, is that it is very substantially seasonal, and a majority of the decisions in terms of schools are made in our fourth quarter, and then we have a leftover in Q1. So we see substantial growth revenue in Q4, and that's at times several times of what you see in other quarters. And so from an overall perspective, if you looked at this business, you'll have to take a yearly view of this business rather than a quarterly view of this business. For the year, this business will be profitable and with growth.
Okay. So basically what you're saying is that if we take out the impact of the wind down of the government schools, then on a yearly basis, this business will have both positive EBITDA and positive PBT, or only positive EBITDA for this year?
I think positive EBITDA for the year.
Okay. And when do you expect it to get to positive PBT levels?
Yeah, I think this this business has growth potential, and as we as you know, we have delivered or brought out a number of products on math as well as science and English this past year. These products will start taking root and start returning money towards profit. So I think over the next year or so, you should start seeing improvements in profitability. I will let Pradeep, who heads that business, also comment a little bit about the trajectory of this business.
Sure. And actually, just a related question, Pradeep, is that strategically, how do you look at this business? You know, because it's a small percentage of your overall business. And, you know, with the low base that it has, for it to really make sense, it should be growing at something like 40-50% a year, you know. Do you see that happening? What is the uniqueness about your products? Because while I do appreciate that the market is huge, you know, there are a number of learning products in the market. So how do you compare with what's available, and what is going to be really your growth driver?
So first and foremost, I think the NIIT Schools business has a range of products which, if you look at any competing company, doesn't have. And therefore, we have now got into a position where we can go and be active right through the year. And that kind of position, we have really got to achieve, beginning to achieve that now. So we can expect that we will have better quarters, each quarter getting better through the year over the next couple of years. That's one. Number two, given the fact that we have increased our product portfolio, we should see a better growth possibility. I definitely see that we should get aggressive with each passing quarter and our products getting more and more accepted. So that's the other thing. And we also have changing some of the way that we are kind of positioning and selling and pricing our products. But that will also give us advantages over the next few quarters. The new products which we launched towards the end of last year was a wee bit late in terms of being able to reach out to the full potential. We will be able to do much better this year, and that will give us a substantial increase in our revenues in Q4. So overall, I'm quite optimistic about how we're going to do in the next few quarters.
Okay. So in terms of, how do you think in terms of the numbers on this business? Let's say that, this is a year of sort of cleaning up the government school business, establishing a base, etc. From here onwards, if we take FY19 as a base going forward, do you think this business has the potential to grow at, say, 30% per annum for the next few years, or the growth will more likely be in the 15%-20% kind of range? How do you actually see the scenario unfolding, and how will the costs move? Is this something where the business is partly productized, so your costs don't move in proportion to your sales? Could you just give some sense about it?
So I'm not going to
Where I'm coming from is that if it's such a small business today, it makes sense to have it in the portfolio only if we think that it has huge strategic importance, and in 3 or 4 years' time, we see it becoming 10%-15% of our total business. Otherwise, why bother with such small numbers?
So in relation to the overall size of the company, yes, it is currently small, and the intent is to make it a substantial and significant business. By itself, it should stand on its own feet to begin with. That's the starting point with which I kind of run this business. So overall, I still think about 20% plus growth is what we are looking at immediately. Over a period of time, we should be looking at more aggression. But at this point of time, about 20% is what we are hoping to achieve.
Okay. All right. Thanks. My second question was on the skills and career group. What I wanted to get a sense was that I do understand that, there are a lot of new products that you are, new offerings you've come out with, which you've been talking about for a while. And here, the market opportunity definitely seems to be in place. Now, going forward, again, how do you think this will take a little bit of time to pan out in terms of the growth numbers? And at what kind of EBITDA percentage do you break even at a PBT level in this business?
Let me answer the first part first. I think, and remind, let me know if I got the question right. I think your first question was, what is the future for this business? Is this business going to achieve growth?
Yeah.
And then what is needed to achieve positive PBT?
Yeah.
I think as you have seen, we have not achieved growth yet. However, over the last few quarters, if you were to draw a line on growth, our negative growth is shrinking. And if you plotted that line into future, we'll start seeing positive growth back-ended towards the latter half of the current half. So towards Q4 is when we start seeing some growth.
Right.
I think the three key initiatives that I mentioned have very substantial potential. whether we look at StackRoute, which focuses on reskilling programmers into full-stack developers, as well as project managers into engineering managers, or and that population size today is 4 million in India. However, this problem or this market is not limited to India. It is a problem that is pervasive across all IT services companies as well as product companies. So the market is substantial on just that one initiative. The second initiative, which is TPaaS, like I said, we have 10,000 mandates for 10,000 folks at this time, and every quarter we are able to get about two or three new mandates. In fact, we have already won one significant mandate in the month of October. Again, substantial potential as you look at the Indian economy. The two areas that are growing from a job growth perspective are information technology and BFSI, and we have significant presence in both of these, and the value proposition makes a lot of sense. I think and the third initiative is around new products and so on and so forth. So each of these three initiatives could be as large as the company or the business today. And I think you know, once we have had two or three strong growth quarters, we'll start seeing positive PBT.
Okay. So at what EBITDA percentage do you actually break even?
I think we are not providing that level of guidance at this point in time.
Okay. All right.
Though in one-on-one discussions, if you would like, we could discuss it in a little more detail, but we are not providing that level of guidance.
Or maybe you could just send a mail later on.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Vaishnav from VT Investment. Please go ahead.
So my first question is, my first question is related to school and learning business. Actually, I want to know how much revenue we got from last government project out of total revenue of 5.1 crore. Hello?
We got a total of 5 million INR this quarter as revenue from government project.
Okay. So in coming quarter we can see further. Hello.
Sorry, go ahead.
Hello. Okay. In coming quarter we can see further decrease in revenue in school and learning business because we don't have any new contracts till now. So hello. Am I audible?
I'm not able to understand. Can you say your question again?
So, in coming quarter, like in Q3, we can see decrease in revenue in school and learning business because we don't have any new contract in this business. So, we can see any further decrease in revenue in coming quarters?
We will not have any revenue related to government projects in Q3. And Q4, yeah. Like I said, this was the last quarter in which we would have revenue from government projects.
Now we don't have any new contract in school and learning business, right? So there will be a further decrease in revenue in coming quarters, like in Q3, Q4.
That's right. Like I said, from a government school perspective, we don't expect any revenue in Q3, Q4. However, from an overall private schools business perspective, we see growth. And like I said, you should think of this business on a yearly basis rather than a quarter-on-quarter basis, because most of the contracts and decisions related to contracts get bunched in Q4, our Q4.
Thank you. I would request Mr. Vaishnav to come back and queue for follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Nimish Shah from MK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on great set of numbers. I just wanted one data point. What was the Forex loss for this quarter?
We had a Forex gain.
No. The Forex loss in other income.
Oh, in other income. 9 million. 9 million in other income.
And what was it same quarter last year?
1 moment.
We'll take a minute to answer that question. If you have any other question in the meanwhile, you can ask that.
No, that's
it was
right.
5 million.
It was 5 million
NPA last year.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurabh Chinodia from Stewart & Markotich. Please go ahead.
Hello. So if you go through the presentation slide number 10, there has been a significant increase in the number of headcount both as a both on YOY and as on Q-on-Q. So if you can just talk a little bit about what was the reason for the increase.
Sure, absolutely. Very good question. A fairly significant percentage of that increase is in the corporate business. As you would expect, this is business that's growing and therefore needs headcount to service customers. The second significant part of that business of growth was in our StackRoute business, again, to cover commitments with customers. For both of these, the additions have been in direct revenue generating headcount.
Okay. And do you anticipate further increase in the headcount number?
As the businesses grow, given that we are in services business, we anticipate growth. However, our endeavor is to improve productivity on a quarter-on-quarter basis.
Okay. And I think
also, with the large contract that is currently in contracting, we will see growth in numbers as that contract completes transition.
Okay. And will it be possible for you to break down your headcount in terms of percentages may work within all the three business segments in which you operate?
We should be able to, but we'll update you over email. If you let us know your email or let Kapil know your email.
You can post in a addendum.
Yeah. And
it
we will
has
be,
to be known to everybody.
Yeah. We will be happy to post that for everyone.
My last question will be with respect to your corporate learning group. The corporate learning segment has been growing at a very good pace. What could be the peak level of operating margin this business segment can generate going forward?
From an overall perspective, our strategy over the last several quarters has been to while we are improving productivity, but whatever gains we get, we reinvest in sales and marketing. Given that there is substantial headroom that's still left, we would like to, for the next few quarters, continue to invest in sales and marketing. So you will not see very substantial increase in terms of improvement in margin, but you'll see some improvement in margins as we go forward in quarters. So maybe next year you'll see some improvement in margins.
Okay. So, but this band of 15% to 17% will be the norm for this segment?
That is true. It might buffet a little bit, but yeah.
Okay. That's all from my side. All the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sangeeta Vishwakarma from VT Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. We have a request of a debit to rupees 599 CR, but our finance cost here increased to 5.61 CR from 44.61 CR. So why it is has increased?
has interest cost gone up?
I think that she's asking about that interest cost is while your net debt has reduced.
Yeah. I think if I understood it right, you wanted to know while the net debt has come down, why has the interest cost gone up? Is that
yes,
your question?
Yes, yeah, right.
Yeah. So I think two, three reasons. One, while the net debt at the end of the quarter is down substantially, but the average gross debt across the quarter has been higher, and therefore the interest to service that debt has been higher. I think there is a second question which is more towards accounting standards, which is where if we buy software or incur capex across a period of few years, then we have to take an interest cost to cover the fact that we are acquiring or we are paying for that capex over a period of a few years. So that's a notional interest cost, but it does appear as interest cost in the books. I think that's the second one. I think the third one to some extent really is because of the currency volatility. The rupee is down, and therefore
the forex
loans appear larger, and therefore
forex interest appears.
The interest on those loans appears higher. I would say that would be the predominant reasons.
Okay. In school learning business, five new career programs we have launched. Apart from this, any new courses you can see in FY19? Any new courses?
We have an aggressive schedule of new courses that we plan to launch. We will be launching new programs this quarter as well as in the coming year. And I'm going to request Ganesh Krishnamurthy, who heads product development and deployment at NIT, to spend a couple of minutes.
Thank you, Sapnesh. So we do have our plans in place for some very interesting products over the next few quarters. You will hear us launching products in the commercial art and creative design space. We intend to partner with some of the leading technology companies in this space. We are also building out programs on cybersecurity, again, with a very interesting collaboration. We'll talk about that pretty soon. And going beyond that, we intend bringing programs for our working professionals and as part of our management portfolio, again, collaborations with an important US-based university in the space of supply chain management. So these I'll talk about now, but rest assured, you will see us coming with new products, both large as well as small ones, every quarter.
What is your gross debit till now, and what is rate of interest?
Gross debt is about 200 crores. And the average rate of
Rate of interest? Hello?
8%.
Sorry?
9%.
9%. How do you see 2HFY19 in skill and career, corporate and school learning business? Any outlook you would like to give?
Like I mentioned in my opening comments, the outlook for the corporate business continues to be strong, and our key initiatives in our skills and careers business continue to generate visibility. And so from an overall perspective, we feel that our key initiatives will continue to propel us in the right direction.
Thank you. I would request Ms. Vishwakarma to come back in queue for follow-up question. We'll move to our next question, which is from the line of Rishabh Basa from Almonds Global Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, my question is regarding the borrowings only. We have long-term borrowings of around 124 crores in our books. So why it has gone up substantially compared to the March year-end, which was around 93 crores?
I'm going to request our CFO, Amit, to answer this question.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah. So, you are seeing the 31st of March balance sheet.
Yeah, March is against September. Hello.
Yeah, the total debt. Hello.
Yeah.
Just one moment. He's coming that side.
Yeah.
I have a problem with the microphone. Just one.
Yeah. The total debt is around the same 190-200 crores, but which are within 12 months period, it comes under other liabilities. Hence that the number is less there, and if you add that, it is 200 crores.
Yeah, but I'm talking about non-current borrowings, which has gone up from 93 crores to around 124 crores, which is long-term borrowing.
No, long-term borrowing, we as of 30th of September, we have paid some money, some borrowing also, and there are some borrowings which are within 12 months period. It has to come from the long-term borrowing to short-term borrowing. If you add these two, it is at the same level. That's the point. That's INDA's application.
Okay.
So I think what he's trying to explain to you is there is no change in the level of borrowings.
Okay.
It is the way the accounting is done as per INDA.
Okay.
It changes the hedge
and the thing changes. That's all. Okay. Nothing else.
Okay. And in that terms of...
If you would like further detail, you can send a specific question and Kapil Saurabh will be able to explain to you, or our CFO, Mr. Roy, will be able to explain.
Okay, sir. No problem.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And I have to say there is no change as such in our borrowing pattern.
Okay, sir. And in terms of our skills and career group, which has shown around 13% QOQ growth, so can we expect similar kind of growth in the next two quarters also?
Yeah, I think the way you should look at the skills and career business is on a YOY basis rather than a QOQ basis, because it is seasonal.
Okay.
However, that having we do expect, like I had pointed out earlier, to see some growth as we get towards the end of the year.
Okay. And in school learning group, Q3 will be muted and Q4 we will see some kind of growth, right?
That's correct. That the predominant number of decisions, school decisions are made in our Q4.
Okay, sir. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kaushik Poddar from KB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
See, in your previous conference calls, you have talked about your intention to divest NIT Technologies. Now, NIT Technologies is doing very well, probably one of the best performer in the mid-cap IT sector. So is it possible for you, I don't know when the divestment will happen, but in order to give a, can you, is it possible for to you to give a guidance as to what are the criteria or what are the milestones you are looking for before when you will decide to divest NIT Technologies?
I'll request Vijay to talk about it.
Yeah. So Kaushik, first of all, very good question and very good timing of the question. You are right. ETL is doing very well. The question is this the right timing or not? That always will be an important question, because a number of parameters have to meet.
If you can just detail the parameters.
I beg your pardon?
If you can just detail the parameters, that's it.
Yeah, I think it is difficult to define the parameters. The timing has to be right, the pricing has to be right, the party has to be right, right? And the future of the investment that or the company that we have created over the last 37 years should also be right. I think all these are considerations. Now, I don't think it makes you any wiser, those you would have known in any case. But I think that's all that I can say right now.
Okay. But do you have a timeline? I mean, maybe 1 year, 2 years or 3 years? I do not know. What is the timeline you have in mind?
No, I don't think there is a timeline that I can define for you. The timeline will be when it happens, it happens.
Okay. And this thing, Mr. Lala, you while detailing the result, you have talked about that the 10% operating profit margin that you have shown for this quarter, you also mentioned that you are looking for a higher operating profit margin in the future. Do you have a something of a target as far as operating profit margin is concerned, maybe 2 years down the line?
Yeah, I think that's a good one.
That's a great question. I think like I responded earlier to another question, looking at a 15 to 17% band, and we should...
I think it's 10% right now, is it?
No, I'm sorry. I thought you talked about the corporate business. From an
I'm talking for the whole company,
business.
Which is a 10% overall for the company.
Yeah, I think for the whole company, there is the potential is substantially higher than where we are today. As you would have noticed, the skills and careers business is starting to get into or will start to get into growth zone as we go towards the end of this year. Once it is growing and we start taking advantage of the operating leverage, we will start seeing improvement in our margins. And I think from an overall perspective, the skills and careers business at its peak has done upwards of 24% as margin. So I think there is very substantial potential for that business to improve on margin. And I think like I'd mentioned earlier, the corporate business will be in the 15 to 17 band. So, you know, as both of these businesses get to steady state, we should see, you know, a 15, 17% margin. But that's dependent on the skills and career business achieving growth related parameters, as well as, you know, beating the operating leverage.
I think if I was to add a line to that, there has been an overhang on, in our margins of businesses that we are exiting. For example, government schools business. The exiting of government schools business, which has taken nearly 4 or 5 years in a gradual manner, I think has put pressure on the margins. And now we have the last tail in which we have no revenue, but we will have some expenses for the time being. So this overhang is also getting over. So I think on an overall basis, not on every quarter, but I think on an overall basis, the margins will start showing improvement as you are seeing they are doing even this year. And I think going forward, therefore, to reach a margin of 15 to 17% does not appear to be an out of reckoning. It is easy to achieve as soon as the overhang of the previous of the exiting businesses is over.
Okay, 15 to 17% operating profit margin. That's a nice and reassuring goalpost. My last query, the capital that is employed in a government school, you'll be slowly getting it back in another probably 2-3 quarters. So can we expect a net debt to be at zero level next year down the line?
So first of all, I think you should know that while the government has taken very long to pay,
okay,
we have been able to get every penny from the government, though delayed, and the delayed money has lost its a lot of opportunity cost. But the fact remains at a principal level, even some of the debts which we, some of the DRs which we wrote off 2 or 3 years ago, we kept fighting for that. And in the last quarter, we got some of that back, which are appearing in our other income. So first of all, the capital that is employed in the government business is not anywhere significant now. Yeah, it is south of 50 crores. What is important right now is at this point of time, the debt levels are coming from the working capital requirement of a growing business, which is Corporate Learning Group, as also what we have been developing and investing for this large mega project Vico, which will start generating revenue from next July onwards. As soon as that revenue kicks in, the net debt will come down to zero very, very quickly.
Okay, that's great. That's great. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. I'm sorry to interrupt. We got one participant in queue now. Should we take that now before we close?
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Vora from Reliance Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question at the last moment. I'm really grateful for that. Just wanted to ask, are there any options which we have considered to monetize our stake for NIT Tech? It may not be necessarily the company selling off the company to someone else. Is there any restrictions to the way we hold our stake currently which prohibits us from doing that?
No, there are no restrictions.
Okay, so have we considered or pondered over this idea, or it's not being considered till now?
Yeah, we keep examining all options, and I think all options are on the table. But right now, we haven't felt the necessity.
Okay, so let me confirm. You getting me right? That I will say that I'm not saying that we sell off the company, but some other ways. I will say just an example, like how Cox & Kings and Questcorp was done, where their holding was given as a share to the shareholders. Anything of that sort?
Yeah, but I think what we have to examine is every option that you choose has to create value for our existing shareholders. Number one. Number two, has to be a value which can be created, sustained over a period of time. For NIT Limited, it's a very important asset which has a role to play in the future plans of NIT Limited also. So I think in that overall context, we keep looking at all options. And this option that you talked about is also an option that is worth looking at. So I guess we will add that in our.
Sure. Thanks a lot. That's it for me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shitesh Bansal from Albatross Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen, and congratulations for a great set of numbers. A quick question around, there is a lot of conversation around automation happening within the IT sector. And this might be happening on some kind of, you can say, commoditized set of skills. But I'm just trying to sort of understand your perspective. How do you see this kind of impacting your business going forward, please? And how do you believe that the management, although you did put some color, but how do you believe the management could circumvent, this particular shift that is happening in the IT skills industry?
I think it's a very good question. We feel that it's a great opportunity. In fact, our StackRoute initiative has a set of programs around machine learning, which deal with big data and automation and artificial intelligence. I think as we move forward, every programmer or every full stack developer will have to have artificial intelligence and ability to use machine learning to solve a number of problems. As we move forward over the next few years, people who graduate in computer science will also be expected to have experience and skills around artificial intelligence. For us, it's a great opportunity because it's a new technology. It has a great following. It has great potential to do many things that currently require manual work. And to me, it's like way back when programming was helping automate a number of manual tasks. The next step jump is going to come from artificial intelligence and machine learning automating other tasks, and therefore a great opportunity for us to teach digital programmers on how to achieve those tasks.
Great, sir. Just one quick follow-up that, you know, for these kind of programs, do you believe that you will be developing specialized, customized programs for every client that you might be working with, or you believe that there could be a kind of a vanilla-based level program that could be offered across, you know, across the board? Just your perspective on this, please.
I think a lot of these things start as custom programs because these technologies at their fledgling state have different implementations at different customers, but over time they start getting into generic programs, and I think over the next year or so we'll see generic programs which include machine learning and things such as that.
All right. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Daniel from Entropy Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, you had mentioned something of M&A activities among your customers in the corporate learning group. How will this affect growth in the coming quarter? I mean, I thought you said there would, you can expect some degree of slowdown there.
Yeah, so M&A activity, we've seen an M&A activity at least with two large customers, and what that typically does is ends up pausing the volume that we see because of restructuring and change in people and so on and so forth. In the past, when we've seen this activity, there have been times when the amount of work we do has doubled because what used to be one customer has now achieved significant growth because they acquired somebody else. And so therefore our work increases. But what it does do in every instance is it creates uncertainty and therefore the volume of work goes down. However, in most cases, it's temporary and over time it smoothens out.
Okay, but getting to the next quarter, how would this impact it? I mean, would it mean that your sales growth for the next quarter drops into single digit, or I mean, would it be that drastic or...
I don't think so. I don't think we'll drop into single digits, but I did want to mention that there will be some uncertainty. Overall, from a customer acquisition perspective, like I've already said, we have a number of contracts that are in contracting. So we continuously are increasing the number of customers we have. However, when there is uncertainty in a couple of large customers, we can see some percentage drop in what those customers contribute. Of course, as you are aware, we have 40 customers. So even if there was impact in a couple of customers, it will be 2 out of 40.
Okay. Worst case scenario, could you end up losing these customers?
See, it's very hard to anticipate what will happen when one company... So for example, when Vodafone acquired Idea, or Idea and Vodafone got together, it's very difficult to anticipate what the new management will be and what will drive their decision making. What you can anticipate is that there will be change. Whether that change will be advantageous for us or disadvantageous for us is hard to tell. What I would say is, if you look at our win rates and if you look at how we are accelerating customer acquisition, our value proposition is resonating with our customers. And so I see a great promise in terms of when our customers get acquired or our customers acquire others, there is a greater opportunity for them to benefit from a relationship with an IIT.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Well, thank you very much. Your questions were very insightful. They got us thinking, and we really appreciate the time that you have taken. I know it's a busy season, so thank you very much for the time as well as your kind comments, and we look forward to meeting with you in person or again on the conference call next quarter. Thank you.
I'll just add one line that if there are any questions which remain unanswered, there were a couple of data points which some of you asked for, those data points we would share, and we add an addendum to the call transcript so that it's available to everyone. And other than that, Kapil Saurabh, who's the point person from our side to take all the questions and comments, we would be very happy to hear your feedback as well as get into any specific discussions that you would like. So with that, thank you very much for joining us and looking forward to interact with you during the quarter as well.
Thank you. On behalf of NIIT Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.